Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As most of us, if not all of us, can testify, since we all have experienced firsthand the fact that life is full of disappointment, it is full of pain, it's full of suffering in one way or another. We know, we testify that none of us are excluded from that grief and from that sorrow. Sorrow that may have been caused by the death of someone that we love very deeply, or perhaps by disappointment, because we were betrayed by someone that we trusted with our heart, that we trusted with our life. Pain, because of the loss of that trust. And sometimes we feel like our heart has been broken into a million pieces and that it can never be put back together again. And though there may be those who have died from a broken heart, for most of us, our broken heart does not stop beating. We just live with that agony. We live with that pain, with that sense of loss. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we get a sense of the heart of Paul, a heart that had been broken by followers of Jesus Christ. Paul had spent almost 2 years with the people in the church in the city of Corinth. He had led many of them to Christ. He had ministered to them day and night. He wept over them. He suffered with them. They knew his heart of love for them. Yet, because of false teachers who had found their way into the church fellowship in Corinth, they questioned his love for them. They questioned his sincerity. They questioned his integrity. They even questioned his knowledge of the Word of God. How could they have been so blind? Perhaps no more blind than some of us are. How could they have been so deceived by those false teachers? How could they have failed to understand what real love is all about? And so beginning in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul responds to them. And he says to them, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians." Anoigo in Greek. "We have held back nothing that would be profitable for you, that would be valuable for you to know from the Word of God. We've held back nothing that is essential for you to understand in order to help you in your spiritual growth in the Lord, even though some of the truth of that teaching may have been uncomfortable for you to hear because of your sin. Sin that was in your lives. But I wrote those letters to you," Paul says, "so that you might become obedient to the truth of the Word of God. Even though at the time it caused you sorrow, and even though now it is breaking my heart, still, our heart is opened wide to you. platuno in Greek. We abound with love and with affection for you. As it says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, we are as full as the sands that are on the seashore. Our heart overflows with love and with affection for you. And if you are restrained, stenakoreo in Greek, if you are restricted in your love for us, it is not because of us. We're not to blame. But you are restrained. You are being restricted in your affections for us because of you. Because of the hardness of your hearts. You have squeezed us out of your hearts. You have pushed us out of your lives. You've broken my heart. Now, in a like exchange, Paul says in verse 13, antemisia in Greek, in the exact same way, in the exact same way that we love you, love us in return as well. Love us in the bond of love that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I speak to you as to children, Paul tells them. Technon in Greek. I speak to you as my sons. I speak to you as my daughters in Christ. So open wide your affection to us. Make room in your hearts for us also. Let go of those relationships that are leading you away from Christ and that are leading you away from us. Those who are corrupting you. Those who are polluting your hearts and your minds and rotting you like decaying flesh. And Paul notes this fact, that what is true of animals is also true of people. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, you shall not plow a field with an ox and with a donkey who are yoked together in order to pull a plow. Why? Well, because they are different animals. They are different animals with different dispositions. They have different strengths. They even have a different way of walking. A different way of behaving. So Paul says, in the same way, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Heteron zugeo in Greek. Do not be unequally yoked together with them. Because in Christ, we do have different beliefs. We have different beliefs than they do. We have a different perspective on life. We walk in a different way. Those without Christ do not see things the way that we see them, do they? They don't value the things that we value. They are, in a sense, in a different world, aren't they? They're part of the kingdom of darkness. Well, we're part of the kingdom of light. So we are incompatible with them. And when they're part of the church, as many of them were in the city of Corinth, and perhaps as many of them are today in the church, then that is a recipe for spiritual disaster. And many times the enemy fights against the church by joining it. He fights against it by infiltrating it, using those who teach error against the truth of Christ. And in the church, in the city of Corinth, the believers there had compromised their faith by embracing the moral standards of the world and adopting the perspectives of this world. A false perspective of Christ. A perspective that they had brought into the church by those who claimed to belong to Christ. And so they rejected Paul. And perhaps in effect, they were rejecting Christ as well. So we might do well to listen to the words of the prophet Amos, who said in Amos 3:3, how can two people walk together, at least for very long, unless they are in agreement? Perhaps a question for us to consider as well. Or what partnership, Paul adds in verse 14. Metahe in Greek. What unity? What relationship? What do they have in common? What does righteousness have in common with lawlessness? How can those who seek to live to please the Lord be in agreement with those who are in rebellion against him and who seek to please themselves? Or what fellowship, he says, koinonia, what communion has light with darkness? Light and darkness cannot exist in the same place at the same time, can they? So how can the truth share the same place at the same time with error and still function properly? Or what harmony, he says, symphonesis in Greek, from where we get our English word symphony. What compatibility, what union does Christ have with Belial, an ancient name for Satan, which means the worthless one? How can you blend and harmonize that which is precious with that which is worthless and expect to have a symphony? So, it is obvious, isn't it, that a believer has nothing in common with an unbeliever? Faith and unbelief cannot function together because we are a new creation in Christ. Or Paul adds in verse 16, what agreement? Sum kata thesis. How can you mingle these things? How can you mingle the two? How can you build the temple of God and worship in that place and at the same time put idols there in that place and worship those demons as well? And the reality, Paul reminds us in verse 16, is this, that we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of Christ. He lives within us, just as God has said in several places in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 26:11, in Jeremiah 24:7, in Ezekiel 37:27, for example, where he has promised us, I will be your God. I will dwell in you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. In Christ we are his possession. We belong to him. We are his precious possession. And to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in ministry or in worship really is an insult to him. And if you find yourself in that situation today, perhaps you should find another situation. Therefore, Paul warns us in verse 17, come out from their midst. Depart from them and be separate from them, says the Lord to his people in Isaiah chapter 52. And do not touch what is unclean. Hapto in Greek. Do not cling to false teaching. Do not cling to false teachers, hating even their garments that have been polluted by their flesh, it says in Jude 23, yet seeking to snatch them out of the fire of their sin. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. Make a clean break from them. And in your desire to be obedient to me, the Lord says, I will welcome you. Eisdechomai in Greek. I will receive you with open arms. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I will pour out my blessings upon you. And I will be a father to you, your father in heaven, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Our broken heart will not stop beating as we look to him for comfort in our pain. He will put our heart back together again, as we are in the hands of our loving Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.